Today is Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday begins the week of Holy Week. Palm Sunday marks the beginning of Holy Week and commemorates Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. It's remembered for the crowds that were waving palm branches and shouting Hosanna as Jesus entered into the city. The event is mentioned in all four Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. Palm Sunday marks Jesus' final days in Jerusalem, leading up to his crucifixion and his resurrection. Palm Sunday symbolizes the coming of the kingdom that the Messiah King would be welcomed into his city by children and the humble hearts of the people, and what is going to be accomplished by the Passover of his death and his resurrection. It is a reminder that Jesus' kingly arrival, his prophesied role as the Messiah, and the sacrificial nature of his mission. The waving of palm branches during the procession symbolizes joy. It symbolizes celebration, while also foreshadowing the suffering and the crucifixion of our Jesus that was soon to come. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey rather than on a horse to fulfill the prophecy of the Old Testament that was shown in our screen this morning and as was read by Scotty at the beginning of the service in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, and to symbolize his humble and peaceful arrival as the Messiah. By riding on a donkey, Jesus was demonstrating that his kingdom was not of this world and that he came as a servant king. Because donkeys were associated with peace, they were associated with humility, they were associated with servitude, while horses were linked to war and were linked to power. By riding on a donkey, Jesus was demonstrating his peaceful intentions and his humility, which contrasted with the expected image of the conquering king. Donkeys were more accessible to ordinary people than horses, which were often associated with the wealthy or with the powerful. This choice further emphasized that Jesus was connected with the common people that were alive in that day and time. I want to go to our passage of Scripture this morning in Luke chapter 19 in verse 28, and we're going to read through verse 31 this morning. Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 28 through verse 31. When he had said this, he went on ahead, going into Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village opposite you, where as you enter you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here, and if anyone asks you, 'Why are you loosing it?' thus shall you say to him, 'Because the Lord has need of it.'" Let us pray this morning. Dear Lord, we love you today. We thank you for this holy week. We thank you, God, for the ultimate sacrifice that you paid by going to Calvary and by dying upon a cross. And God, you showed the ultimate sign of love. You showed the ultimate sign of grace and the ultimate sign of mercy. And you did it for us, even though we did not deserve it, even though we did not even believe in you and we didn't receive you and we unloved you. But God, you did it did it anyway, and you died upon a cross, and you did it for our sins and for every wrong that we would ever commit, for every sin and for every mistake that we would ever fall short. God, you died so that we could have life, and we thank you for that this morning, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Can we all say amen? A little boy was sick on Palm Sunday and stayed at home from church with his mother, and his father returned from church holding a palm branch. The little boy was asking, curious, and asked his dad, "Dad, why do you have a palm branch?" His dad said, "You see, when Jesus came into town, they waved palm branches to honor him on Palm Sunday, and so this morning we received palm branches." And the little boy replied, "Oh, shucks, the one Sunday I miss, Jesus shows up." Well, the message of Palm Sunday is a message that all of us need to hear. Most of us understand that Palm Sunday is the Sunday that happens before Easter, 5 days before his crucifixion on Good Friday. It is the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, and the people and the pot laid the palm leaves and the cloaks down on the streets in order to honor Jesus. And for most of us, that is the extent of what we understand about Palm Sunday. But there is so much more to this story that is so important for us to understand. Our text this morning stated that before going to Jerusalem, Jesus was staying in Bethany, and he was at the home of his close friend Lazarus and Mary and Martha. He was staying in their home, and the Gospel of John records Jesus as having dinner with his friends, and this was to be the last moments of peace and comfort upon the earth for Jesus. While he was there, Jesus sent his two of his disciples into the village to retrieve a colt or a donkey and that had never been ridden before. Jesus was going to ride this donkey into Jerusalem. I want to draw to your attention this morning a few details about this event. First of all, the fact that Jesus is going into Jerusalem is a very significant event. On many other occasions, we find Jesus leaving Jerusalem because of the dangers that he faced in Jerusalem, because of the difficulties that he faced there. And that is why most of Jesus' ministry was in the area of Galilee, because it was dangerous for Jesus every time he would go into Jerusalem. It is always a difficult decision for Jesus to go into this area, but on this occasion, it was especially difficult because Jesus knew what he was about to face in Jerusalem. He knew that he was about to be tortured. He knew that he was about to be crucified. And to add to that difficulty, Jesus was just about to enter into Jerusalem in a way that he had never done before. Jesus was about to enter Jerusalem riding on a donkey. He wasn't going to walk in. He wasn't going to sneak in. But on this trip to Jerusalem, he was going to make a public declaration of who he was. You see, in times of war, a king would ride a stallion, or they would ride a horse. In times of peace, a king would ride a colt or a donkey. And so Jesus was going to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. And for Jesus to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey was to declare that he was the king. I also want you to remember that Jesus rode in on a donkey, not a horse. This was a peaceful declaration of who he was. This was a time like no other time in the history of Israel. How would the people of Israel react to Jesus riding in on a donkey? The Gospel of John gives us some great insight into this story that the other Gospels do not record. If you have your Bibles, go with me this morning to the book of John, chapter number 12. We're going to read verses 1 and 2 and then drop down to verses 9 through 13. In John chapter 12, beginning in verse number 1, then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany when Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Now let us verse number 9 through 13. Now a great many of the Jews knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Now, you see, just a short time before Palm Sunday, Jesus had performed his greatest miracle. He had just raised Lazarus from the dead. We don't know exactly how time passed between the two events, but we do know that when the people found out that Jesus was at Lazarus' house, they came not only to see Jesus, but they came to see Lazarus because they wanted to check out and see this miracle for themselves. And the Bible says that the very next day was Palm Sunday. The latest buzz in the city of Jerusalem was the talk of Lazarus being raised from the dead. You know, that's a wonderful miracle, being raised from the dead. When Jesus came riding into town on this Palm Sunday, there was electricity in the air. There was excitement. There was the topic of the conversation was about Jesus. And to add to all of this, it was also Passover time. There were people that were gathering in Jerusalem from far and wide for the Passover celebration. The Passover is the greatest and most celebrated event in the Jewish calendar. Imagine going into downtown Louisville when it's Thunder Over Louisville week, or on the Indiana side of the river, and it's Thunder Over Louisville, and the crowds are overwhelming, and the streets are packed, and the city is teeming with life, and there are people everywhere. That's the way it was on this day on the streets of Jerusalem. That is what it was like in Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. There are people everywhere, and most of them are all talking about Jesus. And I want you to just think just a moment about Jerusalem on this day. Jesus' disciples were there, and among the crowds would be those who he had healed and who he had already provided miracles for in their lives. And there would be many of his followers there, and there would be those that had witnessed the miracles and the power of Jesus Christ as he walked upon this earth, and he had healed blinded eyes, and he had spoken to deaf ears, and he had performed many miracles, and those people would be in this crowd. But also in this crowd would be the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the keepers of the law and those that were jealous of Jesus and those that were threatened by the ministry of Jesus. There were Romans that were in the crowd. There were the occupying government. They would be there in the crowd watching and waiting for any sign of rebellion against Rome. They would be there in force, ready to crush in any type of uprising. All these people had heard that Jesus was coming into Jerusalem that day. And so they were waiting on both sides of the road. Many of them laid their cloaks down on the streets as a sign of reverence to the king. They had cut down palm branches in anticipation of Jesus' arrival into Jerusalem. And then finally Jesus arrives riding on a donkey, and surely this is their king. People are pushing. People are shoving. And they're pushing each other and shoving each other to get a glimpse of Jesus as he would come through down the street. The people were waving their palm branches and shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that comes in the name of the Lord." And this is the setting that Jesus is arriving to on this Palm Sunday. I want you to imagine with me this morning how Jesus must have felt that day. Jesus understood that there would be just a few more days and he would be crucified. Jesus knew that the thousands of the people that were shouting, "Hosanna to the King and Hosanna to the highest," would just in a few days away from now, in 5 days, they would be saying, "Crucify him. Crucify him." Jesus knew that the people did not really understand what this moment meant, and they were caught up in the moment. They had heard about all of the wonderful things that Jesus had done, his miracles, and all of the great things that he had accomplished in his ministry. And they thought that Jesus was coming to the rescue of his oppressors. And they expected that Jesus would become the physical king of Israel and restore her back to her glory days as it had been in the days of King David. Yet there were a few in the crowd who really knew Jesus. There were a few of his true followers, but even they did not understand what was really happening. They also thought that Jesus was coming to rescue them from Rome. You see, when Jesus came into Jerusalem riding on a colt or riding on a donkey, the people understood it to mean that Jesus was claiming to be the conquering king, a warlord who would come in and crush Rome. And that is why they were waving palm branches and they were shouting, "Hosanna in the highest." The Greek word for Hosanna means to save. It simply means to save. The waving of palm branches was a practice that began 200 years previous, when a bloodthirsty Syrian king named Antiochus Epiphanius had beaten the Jews into submission. On the occasion, he slaughtered a pig in the Holy of Holies and made the priest drink of its blood. And after several years of this, a man by the name of Judas Maccabee had had enough, and Maccabee, whose name means hammer, and his brothers launched a guerrilla war against Epiphanius. And 9 years later, Maccabee and his renegades miraculously overcame the Assyrian army and drove Epiphanius out of Jerusalem. And the people spontaneously celebrated by waving palm branches. From that time forward, the palm branch became a symbol of deliverance and became a symbol of freedom from oppression. And so on Palm Sunday, 200 years later, the people were waving palm branches and they were shouting, "Hosanna," in anticipation of Jesus becoming their deliverer from the Roman oppression. But you know something? The people missed the message. They missed what it was all about. Jesus was not riding a horse as a king warrior would do, but he was riding a donkey, which was a symbol of peace. Jesus had come to Jerusalem not with a political message, but he had come with a spiritual message. Jesus had come to Jerusalem as the King of peace and the King of love and the King of compassion. Jesus had come to Jerusalem with the message of forgiveness. When I continue reading our text, it states this in Luke chapter 19, in verses 41 through 44. It says, "Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, 'If you had known, even you especially, in this your day, the things that make for your peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you and surround you and close in on every side and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation.'" You see, when Jesus ascends to the hill of Jerusalem, and when he gets close enough to hear the people's cry and see the palm branches waving in the air, his heart sinks in his chest, and Jesus begins to cry. Why did he cry, we might ask? This is the one and only time in Scripture we find Jesus crying over a multitude of the people. The only other account where Jesus had cried was when he cried when Lazarus had died. It's not that Jesus is not emotional, because Jesus has compassion on the multitudes. That is what moved him to perform the miracles. But Jesus cried over the multitudes only one time that we can find in Scripture. And it was on Palm Sunday that Jesus cried for all of humanity. It was on Palm Sunday that Jesus cried for all of his children. It was on Palm Sunday that Jesus cried for you and for me. You see, the reason Jesus cried was because the people had totally missed the message. He saw masses of people lining the streets and crying out to see him and crying out to rescue them and to save them. And he saw their faces and he looked into their eyes and he saw the emptiness upon their faces and in their lives. They did not understand why Jesus had come, and they had missed the very message of that of peace and of love and forgiveness. And so all Jesus could do was weep and cry and say, "If you only understood why I came, if you only understood what this day is all about, if the people had only understood the message of Christ, what could have been possible?" Jesus was crying because the people missed an opportunity to change their future. They had missed an opportunity to change their world. I want to read that verse out of the NLT. Luke chapter 19, verses 42 through 44. "How I wish today that you all people would understand the way of peace, but now it is too late, and peace is hidden from your eyes. Before long, your enemies will build ramparts against your walls and encircle you and enclose in on you on every side. And they will crush you into the ground and your children with you. Your enemies will not leave a single stone in place because you did not accept your opportunity for salvation." You see, Palm Sunday could have been a new beginning for Israel. Israel had an opportunity to show Rome something new and meaningful. But Israel had missed a glorious opportunity in a dark world. Israel had missed an opportunity for salvation because she was too concerned about her present condition. too caught up in the realm of the physical to be concerned about the spiritual. They were too caught up in the temporal life that they were not concerned about the eternal life. And so that's why Jesus wept. He had spent his entire life trying to get this message across to them, but they had missed the message. And so Jesus wept. When Jesus looked at the city of Jerusalem, all he could see was the beautiful temple in ruins and the enemies of God crushing the people on every side. That's why Jesus wept. The message of Palm Sunday has not changed in over 2,000 years. Jesus is still weeping with us today. He is weeping for your family. He is weeping and crying over this community. He is weeping and crying over lost souls that are not accepting him into their life. I'm going to tell you this morning, there is a day drawing near where the Bible says that Jesus is coming back, not on a colt, but he's coming back riding a white horse. In other words, he's coming back not as a peaceful king, but he's coming back as a conquering king. He is coming back to defeat the armies of this world once and for all. He is coming back to take a bride that is ready to meet him in the air. Did you know that you and I can be a part of that army this morning? You can be a part of that army if you will only receive his message today. On that day, it's going to be too late to receive anything from God. On that day, it's going to be too late to wave palm branches and to cry out, "Hosanna in the highest." On that day, it's going to be too late to save your family. The people of Israel were so caught up in their problems that they tried to make Jesus into something that he wasn't. They tried to make Jesus into the Jesus that they wanted. They tried to make Jesus into the Jesus that was useful to them. And I'm going to tell you this morning, we are living in a world that is just like that today. We want to make Jesus as used as we want to use him, but we don't want to fully engage into the life of living for Jesus. I want to tell somebody this morning, you've got to put him all in your life. You've got to put him in your heart. You've got to live for him, and he will do for you what he says that he will do. When they found out that Jesus would not be the Jesus they wanted, then they rejected him. And the cry changed from "Hosanna in the highest" to "He is guilty, crucify him." The very same people that laid down their coats in reverence for Jesus would murder him 5 days later. You see, the world is making Jesus into something they want. They are making Jesus into something that is useful to them, but the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We are either for him or we are against him. We either accept his message or we reject his message. There is no gray area in between. You are either in the kingdom of God or you are in the kingdom of darkness. There is no gray area. There is no in between. And so I have to ask myself, am I anything like the Jewish people were on Palm Sunday? Am I too caught up in the cares of this life to consider the things of eternal importance? Is Jesus weeping over me today? What does Jesus see when he looks at my face? What does Jesus see when he looks at your face? Sometimes he's grieved because of our spiritual condition in our lives. And that we reject him as well. And we don't give him our all. And that we would rather live for self rather than to live for Jesus. Rather to live selfish instead of living selfless. That we would rather live in the world than to live in His kingdom. Is Jesus weeping over you this morning? We can't make Jesus into who we want Him to be. If Jesus does not fit into your plans, you need to change your plans. If Jesus does not fit into your life, then you need to change your life. Or better yet, allow Jesus to change your life. Don't get caught up in your life here on this earth that you miss what Jesus has been planning for your eternity. You need His grace today. You need His mercy today. You need His love today. You need His forgiveness today. You need His Spirit today. You can be a light in a dark world. You can be an example to those that need Jesus in their lives. A great future beats a great or a terrible past anytime. He sees beyond the outward appearance, and He cares about your pain this morning. As our worship team returns, Jesus wants us to have peace in our lives today. He wants us to have the only peace, the real peace that He can give you. Charles Wesley wrote this, and he said, "I rest beneath the Almighty shade. My griefs expire, my troubles cease. Thou, Lord, on whom my soul is stayed, wilt keep me still in perfect peace." There's not a lot of peace in this world. In fact, all this world offers is confusion, strife. But you can find a peace that passes all understanding through Jesus Christ this morning. Safety consists not in the absence of troubles, but in the presence of God. You see, peace that Jesus gives is not the absence of trouble, but it is rather the confidence that He is with you even through the trouble. In 1555, Nicholas Ridley was burned at the stake because of his witness for Christ. And on that night before Ridley's execution, his brothers offered to remain with him in prison, in the chamber, to be of assistance to him and to comfort him as he was about to die. But Nicholas declined the offer and replied that he meant to go to bed and sleep as quietly as if he had the rest of his life to live, because he knew the peace of God could rest and the strength of the everlasting arms of the Lord was around him, and we can have that same peace this morning. As we stand in this building, I wonder what would have happened on that Sunday 2,000 or more years ago had the people really understood why Jesus had arrived. I wonder what would have happened on that Sunday had the people accepted Jesus Christ as their spiritual king. But you know what I wonder even more than that this morning is, I wonder what could happen right here in Clarksville, Indiana, if we really understood how much Jesus really wants to impact our lives. I want to challenge us this morning to get so plugged into the purpose of Christ in your life. Because Jesus wants to change you. He wants to change your world. That's what this is all about. That's what this whole message is all about. He knows your potential. He wants to give you peace. And He goes beyond outward appearance. He cares about your pain. He cares about your place in your life. This morning, He's concerned about your life. Maybe you've walked into this place today and your life is in shambles. Your life is all messed up. You know, that's what Jesus does. It's like a puzzle that's all, you put out 1,000 pieces on a table and they're all everywhere, and we don't know how to put those pieces together. It takes us time, but I want to tell you, you put Jesus into your life and those pieces just begin to go together. And that's what Jesus wants to do for you today. Dear Lord, in this house this morning, God, if there be anybody here that has not yet accepted you into their lives, Lord, I pray today that they would make this the day of salvation. God, that they would not wait another second, but God, that they would step out as an act of faith and step out from where they are and come to the front of this room today and accept you into their lives. We thank you today, O God. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. And we thank you for your grace. And God, you exhibited perfect love by going to an old rugged cross and dying for every sin that we would ever commit. And God, it's the least that we can do this morning to offer you praise and to give you glory. In your name we pray.